today as we come to the table.
God's not going to let Satan come in if you ask God to give you all the power that he has to pour out his spirit upon you. God's not going to, you know, let Satan come in and do something that's going to freak you out or be weird. And he wanted Moses to know that. You know, Moses, this is me. This is not Satan. This is not the demonic realm. It's me, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And I'm going to reveal myself to you and show myself to you in the midst of this. And so God wanted to know that it was him. And the question is, how do we know today whether or not it's truly the Lord or not? How do we know? It's got to line up with the Word of God. That's how. It lines up with the Bible, it's God. If it doesn't line up with the Bible, it's not God.
Think of the plethora of voices speaking truth, that's in quotations, into the world today. They come from every political standpoint, every social justice standpoint, from the rich, from the poor, from the famous, from everyday Joe. It's everywhere. Everybody wants to speak about what they think is true. It's hard to sort through the voices to find the actual truth. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. The same has been true throughout history, but Pastor Mark tells you today how to combat it. You need to take everything you hear back to the Bible. Look it up for yourself and read about who God really is. Learn his ways and his heart, and then apply that to what you're hearing. Now, turn in your Bible to Exodus chapter 3 as Pastor Mark continues his message, drawing near to God.
When they saw the supernatural, they cried out. And until they cried out in the midst of seeing the supernatural, he would have gone on by. I think a lot of people, especially, I think the best modern day application I've already made, and that is the gifts of the Spirit. People, when God tries to show those kind of things, we as believers oftentimes don't want to cry out to the Lord to show us more. We want to get out of there. And we have to say, God, I want everything you have for me. They cried out. Remember the two guys on Emmaus Road? They're walking down Emmaus Road, and it says this guy came up to them. Well, we know the guy was God. It was the Lord. It was Jesus. And he talked to them. They didn't know that yet. And when they got to Emmaus, it says, and the Lord would have gone on. He was leaving until they said, please stay. Please stay. So it's kind of this thing where it's almost like this kind of thing where God says, look, I'm going to show you just enough to get you interested. But if you don't ask me to come closer, if you don't ask me to draw in and draw you in, then I'm going to go on. I'm not talking about leaving us and not wanting us to be saved and not wanting a relationship. I'm talking about that intimacy and power and being close to the Lord. And so God reveals himself in some new form or some new fashion. He expects us to respond appropriately. And if we don't respond appropriately, God moves on. I had somebody say to me one time, you know, I think God gave me a gift of tongues years ago. And I started using that gift. And all of a sudden somebody told me, well, hey, those aren't for today. And like, I couldn't find it anywhere in the Bible that it wasn't for today. But they were an older Christian and said it wasn't for today. So I just quit doing it. And you know what? It just kind of died in my life. I think God moved on. I think God says, you know what? If you're not going to allow me to move in power, why would I move in power? You want me to operate in the gifts of the Spirit? Then be open to the gifts of the Spirit and let me do it. Or else I'm going to move on. Not that you're not saved. Not that he doesn't love you. But just like the guys on Emmaus Road, he would have gone on. Just like walking on the water, he would have gone on. But they called out to him and he stopped and ministered. So when he turned, he saw, notice God called him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. So you can imagine, think about Moses walking up to the burning bush going, what is that thing? Kind of creeping up slowly. And all of a sudden this voice comes to him. Hey, Moses, you know, this burning bush knows me, you know. Where have we met? Who are you? What are you doing, you know? And so he calls out in this personal thing to Moses here. I mean, this is kind of freaky, really, when you think about it. And notice what he says to him. This is the thing that it's interesting. Notice after he says, here I am. He said to him, do not draw near this place. Now, wouldn't God want Moses to draw near? Doesn't God want us to draw near? Well, the answer is obviously yes. It wasn't that God was going to stop there and say, don't draw near. God had requirements for drawing near. And notice what he says here. Do not draw near this place. Here's the requirement. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Now, this is where I said last week during the worship time, God spoke to me and told me what this meant. I've never known in 20 some years of being a Christian. I've always wondered, God, what does this mean? What is it? Why did he have to take his sandals? What is the point? I never understand that. When you hear every, you know, I never understood why he needed to take his sandals off. And I believe God spoke to my heart and told me. But again, in here, it doesn't even tell us why he took his sandals off that made him holy. But it does tell us that before he could approach God and come near to God, he had to take off his sandal. Now think about this, guys. There must be more than just taking your shoes off that makes you holy. There's some spiritual meaning to this. It wasn't just take your shoes off. It's something that God was trying to give Moses a picture of. Moses, there is a requirement I have of you. If you're going to draw near to me, there's a requirement of what you have to do to be closer. You've got to take your shoes off to draw close to me. And I thought the removing of his shoes, it wasn't the removing of Moses' shoes. I believe what God spoke to my heart last week, it was what was on Moses' shoes, the dirt of the world. And before Moses could approach the Lord, he had to remove the dirt of the world from his body so God could allow him to draw in close. Now, I know these are literal sandals and this was literal dirt and there's probably nothing sinful in the dirt on the bottom of his sandals, but there was a spiritual picture, I believe, that God was giving Moses right here. And there's a spiritual picture, I believe, that God is giving us, and that is this. If we are going to draw close to God, we have to remove the filth and the dirt of the world before we get to him or we can't draw close. He just won't let it happen. He's a holy God. We can't be living in unrighteousness and unholiness and expect to have an intimate relationship. It doesn't work that way. We've got to take our sandals off. It's like saying, God, you know what? Whatever the filth in the world that I've got, I don't want it anymore. I want you. I want to do whatever I have to do to get rid of it and to be able to draw close to you. The same thing is true for us, guys. If we want to draw close to God, we have to take off our shoes. And the question is tonight, what is the dirt that you're carrying around right now? What is it? Do you have filth from the world that you're carrying, that everywhere you go, it goes with you, you're walking with it? Is it a part of you? You've got to take it off. See, God will show himself to you in a powerful way, but God says, I can't have communion with that. Light and darkness can't hang out together. So if you want to be close and you want me to be close to you, then you've got to take the sandals off. You've got to do away with it. Whatever. Maybe it's cutting off cable. Maybe it's putting a block on the internet. Maybe it's stopping talking to that secretary at work or that handsome guy at the car shop or whatever it might be. You've got to say, you know what, Lord, I don't want that anymore. And you've got to set it aside. God has given us all things richly to enjoy, but we know the areas where that's the dirt of the world. You get around things, you just feel dirty. You know, I'm just feeling dirty from that. It's just interesting to me. He needed to remove any and all connection from the wicked and condemned world before God could receive him. You know, the Lord did the same thing with the disciples. And all these other things kept popping in my mind after I felt that God was kind of speaking to me about this. Because remember when he sent the disciples out, he said, go to a city. He said, share the gospel with them. He said, if they reject you, what did he say to do when you left the city? Wipe the dust off your sandals. Even the dirt of that city is unholy. I don't want it near me. They're condemning themselves because they're rejecting me. And then this was even sweeter as, you know, God just ministering to me this week in this, because he took me to the Last Supper. And remember when he gathered around and he went down, and what did he do with their feet? He washed them. They took their sandals off their feet, just like Moses did, and he washed their feet. What a beautiful picture of taking the sin of the world off and then God cleansing us. And of course, like Moses, I mean, because what have they been doing? They've been walking around in the world. And by the way, this is why I encourage you to ask forgiveness every day. You don't have to be saved every day. I hope you know that. But every day you need to be going to the Lord and saying, God, forgive me if there's anything I've done today that has broken your heart or been sinned against you. Forgive me. And let him wash your feet all over again. And you know, Peter got excited when the Lord did that. And he said, oh, Lord, wash all of me. You know, give me a bath head to toe. He said, Peter, lighten up. You're saved. The word's made you clean. You're clean by the word of God. You've given your life to me. But your feet, they've got to be washed. Why, Lord? Because you're walking around in the world. And the world's full of filth. It's full of dirt, and you've got to go and get sometimes in the midst of that filth and that dirt to reach those who need Jesus Christ. You have to. How else are you going to reach them? If you don't get in the middle of all the filth of the world, how are you going to reach them? And sometimes when you're in the middle of the filth of the world, maybe you see things you wish you didn't see. Maybe you hear things you wish you didn't hear. Maybe you even sometimes think thoughts, you know, you didn't want, whatever the case might be, and you get back, you're like, man, I just feel dirty. I need a bath. Lord, wash me. And he says, all you need is your feet clean. I do believe there was a picture there of servanthood, obviously. But I think there was a greater picture here of just saying, you know what? You need to be washed. You need to be clean because you've been walking around in the world. And the Lord giving the spiritual picture here to them, I believe to Moses, as well as the disciples, is that you need to be, just your feet need to be washed on a regular basis. If you're going to be pure with me and going to be right with me. I think a lot of Christians miss the mark in their attempt to draw close to God because they don't understand this. They don't cleanse themselves from the filth of the world. They don't take their sandals off. As God's saying, draw near. Okay, I'm going to draw near. He's like, well, you can't get any closer until you get those sandals off. I see what you're doing. I see your life. But I'm ready. I've got much more supernatural things to show you besides this burning bush experience if you'll just take the sandals off. If you'll leave the dirt behind, so to speak. And I think a lot of people miss it because they don't repent. They don't understand holiness. And we have this whole picture of holiness as somebody thinking they're better than somebody. That's not holiness. It's not what you wear. It's not by being better than someone. It's not holiness. It just means set apart for God. It's like saying, okay, you know what? The world can do what it wants, but I'm going to love Jesus. And you know what? They can watch what they want, but I'm not going to get involved in that. They can do what they want. I'm not going to get involved in that. I'm going to stay pure for the Lord. It's walking holy. And he says, you know what? Then if you do that, you can draw near because you're, in essence, taking off those spiritual sandals. You know, we can't live like the world and expect God to be close to us. We have to be holy because God is holy. The Bible says that. Scriptures, you know, be holy for I am holy. And I start thinking, why is it that so many believers today, and guys, I, honestly, listen, when I say this, it's not that I'm saying that somehow I'm holy and the church isn't, and that I'm holy. I'm not saying that. But God shows me things that I see probably because I'm a pastor, and I need to say them from the pulpit so we can all hear it. But if there's something that God shows me on a regular basis, is that the church today, for the most part, is not a holy church. And the thing that makes me even sadder is the things that people do, and they think, well, it's no big deal. I've met people that honestly believe they can live with their boyfriend and girlfriend and go to church and sit on the front row and raise their hands and praise, and God's happy with them. They really think they're okay with God, and God's saying, you have no part of me, and I have no part of you. Until you take those sandals off, you can't approach me. The dirt of the world is all over you. This is how bad it's gotten. In some denominations, they're arguing whether or not homosexuality is not only okay, but whether you can be a pastor and be a homosexual. Do you see how far the church has gotten away from a standard of holiness and the Word of God? Guys, it's extreme at this point. And if the church is ever going to see God's fire again, if we're going to see God's holiness again, we've got to say, you know what? Here's what the Bible says. Here's right and wrong, and here's where I'm going to stand, regardless of where anybody else stands. And God says, those who do that, they can draw to me. Those are the Moseses that I'm going to show my glory to. And after this whole experience, what God showed Moses some glory, didn't he? Amazing things. And God will do the same thing for us. Leviticus 20:26 says this, you shall be holy to me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have separated you from the peoples that you should be mine. Stop being the world's. Take the sandals off. 2 Corinthians 6:17 through 18, the Lord says this, come out from among them and be separate. Now, understand, I'm not going to finish reading this verse till I explain this. This is not some kind of holy roller movement separatist thing, where we don't talk to them, they don't talk to us, we're going to go live in a convent, wear funny clothes and whatever for years and not talk to anybody. I don't think that's scriptural. How do you reach the world if you run somewhere and hide in a building? You can't reach the world doing that. You may protect yourself in some selfish way, but you can't reach the world doing that. And so it doesn't mean to be separate. It doesn't mean that we don't go among people that have sinned and haven't repented. It doesn't mean that we don't go among the lost. That's not the point at all. What he's saying is, you be separate. Go among them, share my holiness, my love, my grace, but you be separate from them. So he says, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. And so if we're going to draw close to God, it can only come and only happen when we walk in holiness. Notice he says, moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. I love this verse. This is the verse, remember, that when the Sadducees, they didn't believe in the resurrection. And when they were questioning the Lord about, you know, this woman who married all these different husbands, you know, whose will she be in the kingdom and all that, he said, you know, you don't understand the scriptures. And you obviously don't understand the resurrection, because God said, I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Jacob. I am the God of Isaac. He didn't say I was. So I am. Well, now he says him, this is the God that I am. I'm the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face. Now, this is interesting to me. Why did God see the need to identify himself here? Think about that. Moses knew about God. He knew about the God of Abraham. He knew about his people in Egypt. Although he lived with Pharaoh and grew up in Pharaoh's house, he still probably knew who his parents were. He probably heard the tradition. He knew what the scriptures said. God had been ministering to him out in the middle of the desert. Why did God see the need to identify himself? For this simple reason, because there are a lot of false gods out there. There were false gods in that day, and there are false gods in our day. Satan is real. The demonic realm is real. And God wanted to reassure Moses, this is not a satanic thing. It's not satanic. I take us back to when God begins to reveal himself in the gifts of the Spirit. I've heard people say, well, that's of Satan. That's of Satan. Listen, in Luke chapter 11, the Lord said this, if a son asks for, you know, a piece of bread, will the father give him a stone? You know, if he asks for an egg, you know, will he give him a scorpion? If he asks for bread, will he give him a snake? You know, and he says, no, he says, he's not going to do that. He said, he loves you. He's going to give you what's good for you. How much more? He said, if you ask for the Holy Spirit, how much more will the Heavenly Father give his Holy Spirit to you if you ask? God's not going to let Satan come in if you ask God to give you all the power that he has to pour out his Spirit upon you. God's not going to, you know, let Satan come in and do something that's going to freak you out or be weird. And he wanted Moses to know that. You know, Moses, this is me. This is not Satan. This is not the demonic realm. It's me, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And I'm going to reveal myself to you and show myself to you in the midst of this. And so God wanted to know that it was him. And the question is, how do we know today whether or not it's truly the Lord or not? How do we know? It's got to line up with the Word of God. That's how. It lines up with the Bible, it's God. If it doesn't line up with the Bible, it's not God. Again, Satan's power is real. And the demonic realm is real. A lot of times we see these psychics or palm readers or whatever these things are. They might say something, you know, 1 out of 10 things that is right. And people are shocked by that. Oh, well, that was right. Not because they knew the future, but because the demonic realm was telling them things that the demonic realm would know, but nobody else would know. You know, the demonic realm knows what you ate for supper tonight. And if you were to call one of those psychics, I'm going to see if they're real. Tell me, what did I have for supper tonight? And the demons, they have a connection to the demons. They hear voices. The demon goes, hey, they had a steak with potato tonight. Wait a minute, you had something, I think it was like a steak with potato tonight. This is real. This is real. This is real. I want to speak to my lost mom, you know, whatever, right? And then the demon goes, you're eating out of my hand. Oh, your mother's saying this. God's telling you this. Here's what you need to do with your life. Okay, he was right about the steak. He's got to be right about everything else in my life. You see how people buy into that? It's ridiculous. But it's real, guys. It's real. We have to be aware of that. So I want you to know, Moses, that it's me. Here's how we know the Word of God. And what's interesting to me is, you go, okay, well, how do we know that the Word of God is true? How do we know the Bible's true? Because this is the only book out of all those that claim to be scriptures that has proven over time to have no errors that anyone can verify or prove. Trust me, if they could have, it would be broadcast everywhere by now. So no one's been able to verify any errors or mistakes in the Bible throughout history. And not only that, it has been proven to be 100% accurate in all of its prophecies up to this point. No other set of scriptures or so-called holy book has ever done that, dared to do that, or can do that. That's how we know. How do we know the Quran is not the Word of God? Because it can't properly predict the future. It has things in it that are error. The Quran says that the sun sets in a swamp every evening. I know that's not God's word. We've now proven that to be ridiculous. What about Hare Krishna and the Bhagavad Gita, you know, the Hindu scriptures? Again, the same thing. They've multiple errors. And the Lord said, not only those things, not only do we know because the Bible's accurate and these other things are not accurate, it's not just, you know, these things that we can prove that are wrong about them, but the Lord said, look, if anybody tries to add to the scriptures, something that I haven't added. Paul said, if anybody else adds anything to the scriptures, let them be accursed. That was in Paul's day. Well, the Book of Mormon came along a lot later than that, don't you think? The writings, you know, the Watchtower writings of Jehovah's Witness came a lot later than that. The Quran came a lot later than that, hundreds of years later. It wasn't until around 600 AD that even the Quran came along. And all these other writings. So the point is we know the Bible's true because it's been verified to be true. It's been proven to be true. And by the way, it's the only book that Jesus validated. Jesus said, you search the scriptures to find God, but it's me you're reading about. He said, it's me that's there. He verified the scriptures. What were the scriptures of that day? The Bible. He was talking to the Jews. And he told the disciples the same thing. He said, you know, what you find in the scriptures concerning me are going to come true. So the Word of God is true. So we have a lot of different gods out there. We have to decide, how do we know which one's the real God? A lot of different scriptures out there. How do we know which one are the real scriptures? And we even have a lot of different Jesuses out there. Have you guys noticed that? Everybody has a Jesus. Everybody has one. I mean, go to any religion, find out they've got a Jesus. But here's what you've got to do. You've got to find out, give me the definition of your Jesus. What's the definition? Well, you go to the Mormon, tell me about your Jesus. Well, he's the brother of Satan. And, you know, and you go down the list of all these things. Well, no, he's not. That's not my Jesus. Next. Okay, Jehovah's Witness. Tell me, who's your Jesus? Well, he's Michael the Archangel. Where'd you get that? Michael the Archangel's Michael the Archangel. Next, right? You go to the Quran. They say that Jesus wasn't even crucified. They say he didn't resurrect from the dead. Different Jesus. All the different ones you go to. You go to the Hindu scriptures. Or the Hindus, and they'll tell you, well, the Jesus they have, we can all be him. Everybody's Jesus. We all have the Christ consciousness. You just need to figure it out. You're a God and you didn't know it. Now, that could be dangerous. Can you imagine? You get mad at your dog. Stop it. Just blew my dog up, you know. I'm so sorry. Didn't you know you're a God? No, nobody told me. I loved him. This is awful, you know. Good thing it wasn't your daughter. Yeah, praise the Lord for that. You know? Right? Isn't that something? And yet, it's amazing, guys, when you don't believe the truth, you know, you'll believe anything. When people start rejecting God's word, they start worshiping bugs and nature and trees and everything else. And God says, no, I'm alone the real one. Remember that show, will the real, you know, so-and-so please stand up? We have to realize that we have to proclaim the proper Jesus today for people to understand it. When you're talking to somebody and they say, I believe in Jesus, it might be a good question to say, which one? And see what the response is. Do you believe in the one as the scriptures said in John chapter 7 and John chapter 8? Jesus said, those who believe in me, as the scriptures have said, out of their heart will flow rivers of living water. What scriptures did they have in that day? The Bible. So we have to make sure that we have the right one. And then we have the right one, we're doing good. You know, the question, guys, for us tonight is this. Do we want to draw near to the Lord? Do you want to draw near? If you want to draw near, he will let you draw near. He will be there for you to draw near to. But you're going to have to take off your sandals. You got to take your shoes off. I'm not talking about physically. Y'all know that. You've got to say, all right, Lord. And I was praying this just tonight, again, before the service again. I mean, all these things, you know, I go over and over it because I'm the one that's studying it and has to share it. Lord, I said, God, there's nothing I know of. But show me. You're able. You're God. Am I carrying some dirt of the world around with me right now everywhere I go that's keeping me from approaching that fire of God? If you were to say to me, Mark, come near, which you are saying, and he's saying to us right now, he's saying to each one of us, draw near, come near to me. Is there anything that he would say? And interesting, when Moses right now, see, if I say that, then we turn to the Lord, yes, I want to draw near, yes. Moses did that. He saw the burning of the Lord. He turned and said, yes, I want to go see what that is. And then God said, now stop. Don't come any farther. Before you can truly get close to me, you've got to get all the dirt of the world off. That's what I want to do tonight. I want us to pray tonight to really get close to the Lord. Ask him to show you if you have any dirt. You know, what is the dirt, Lord? Is there anything I need to get rid of? There may not be. That'd be great. But if there is, you're not going to be able to draw near to the Lord until you do that. We have to simply confess it to the Lord, repent of it, stop doing it, and then we can draw near to the Lord. But guys, note this as well. If God is calling to your heart tonight and you don't respond, I believe he'll pass on by. Again, not that you're not saved, but if you're not willing to lay the dirt of the world aside in order to draw close, I think it's just like walking on the water. He's going to go onto the shore until you call out. The road to Emmaus, when they got there, he was going to keep going until they said, please stay. Our job is to say, Lord, don't pass by, stay. I want to know you more. I want to know you. Yes, I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. All that's good. I'm one of your kids. I've got all that, but I want more. I want more power in my life. I want to know you more.
Thanks for coming to the table of God's Word with Pastor Mark for his study in the book of Exodus. This Old Testament book of the Bible is an interesting one, as it's the end of one era for the people of Israel, heading into a new season for them that leads them back to their homeland. Through the events in this book, you'll learn of God's miraculous ways of bringing people to freedom. Just looking at the seemingly impossible things that God brought about through the book of Exodus helps you realize that he's a God of power, authority, and incredible majesty. The Israelites experienced this firsthand, but it didn't take long for them to forget what he'd done. Can you relate? Perhaps you've seen God work in your life in amazing ways, but it doesn't take long to be back in a place where you feel like God isn't working in your life. If that's so, we'd really like to be a support for you in prayer. If you go to thewaymedia.net, you'll find a questions and comments link. Go ahead and fill out this form, and we'd like to know what we can be praying for, as well as any thoughts or comments about what you've heard today. You can also listen to additional teachings at thewaymedia.net. That's all the time we have for today. But Pastor Mark has more to share from the miracle-filled book of Exodus. We hope you'll join us again and learn and grow in ways that God speaks to you personally related to the things written down in Exodus. We're thankful for you taking the time today to listen, and we look forward to you joining us the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.